Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, 2024 was described as election year, with a reported 2 billion people casting their ballots around the world. Our recent election here in Ireland, and the US election in particular, have demonstrated the differences and the divisions in society. And perhaps when the families came together over the festive period, there may have been some disagreements and conflict around the dinner table. From the global to the local, don't worry, help is at hand. Dr. Paul Dalton, Associate Professor of Psychology at UCD, joins us again for the final part in his current series. This is helping us find a way to overcome differences and conflict. And Paul, we might just do a quick recap first on what we've learned so far.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. Yeah, so I mean, a couple of things I think that are really important to get out and to say up front. The first thing is that conflict is not a sign of failure. It's not a sign of dysfunctional relationships or families or dysfunctional politics. If we are going to be in relationship in the world, if we're going to care about other people and indeed care about ourselves, there's going to be conflict. So it's not a sign of failure. Ultimately, Sarah, managing conflict is about managing ourselves, managing our own emotions, our words and our actions. Because, okay, it's inevitable, but we can manage and it doesn't need to hurt as much as it normally does. So over the last few weeks, we were talking about ways to manage that. And we've mentioned two. We talked about two so far, Sarah. One of those was this idea of dual identity, and really briefly, those episodes are available online. But really briefly, that's the way, Sarah, of approaching ourselves and other human beings, that I can be more than one single identity or one single person. So I gave the example of Northern Ireland, big conflict resolution. Really important part of that was people choosing Irish to be Irish citizens, British citizens, or both. Mm. So if we're concerned about conflict and we're concerned about polarization, dual identity is a really, really, really important thing. The other thing that we talked about, Sarah, was the importance of avoiding extreme words. The words like always, never, completely, or totally. Extreme words elicit extreme emotional or psychological responses. So we need to watch the language we use in our public and in our private lives. The week before last, we talked about the second guide to managing conflict was about asking better and bigger questions. So this is really, Sarah, about the idea that the types of questions we ask will shape the kinds of lives that we live. So we need to get better at asking bigger and better questions. And we talked a little bit about this a few weeks ago. You know, the importance of avoiding the word "but," for example. Mm. So in those conversations where we're giving some feedback or we're talking to someone, if we can avoid the word, or at least notice when you're using the word "but" and replace it with "and."
I hear what you're saying, but.
But.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's very good, but. Mm-hmm. Mm. That's very good, and I wonder, could we do it differently next time? So when we use the word "but," Sarah, what it tends to do is to undermine what we've already said. So it kind of contradicts what we've said, and it throws someone into a very defensive psychological position.
Okay.
So what really important thing, try to avoid it. The other thing we talked a little bit about, just to say very, very briefly, that to avoid trying to establish objective reality in relationships. So here's a really important thing, Sarah. When we are in conflict, one-to-one conflict or one-to-one conflict with in the family context, probably the worst thing we can do is to try and establish objective reality. No, you said when I came in that this happened.
Okay.
This is not good. That's a way of approaching the world that works very well in science and in academia and all sorts of other places, not in our personal relationships.
Okay. So when you even if they did say that.
But that's exactly what you said. So what?
Okay.
But it's one of the things just to watch.
Okay.
Because it will flare conflict.
I want to move on to perfectionism, but how do you say that differently then? If somebody did say this, how do you phrase that?
Yeah,
so I suppose as far as I remember,
that's really nice. My memory of it was, or actually, Sarah, being able to drop the conversation to a different level altogether.
Okay.
Well, what's really important here? So when we start, you know, going after fact in our close and intimate relationships, we're in trouble.
Okay, you know what's bothering me now is the perfectionist in me. You see the segue I'm doing there. Would like this to be a perfect conversation, and this is something that we want to discuss this evening, because perfectionism comes in many shapes and sizes, comes into play in many parts of our lives. A lot of us, I think, are familiar with it. Talk to us a little bit about that, and how do we manage it?
Yeah. Look, perfectionism. So if we're trying to manage conflict in our personal lives, and indeed in our wider lives, perfectionism is something that we're really, really going to have to pay attention to and really going to have to work on. We've all been, I think, Sarah, you know, maybe it's just my feed, but I mean, I got so many ads about perfect roast potatoes and perfect turkey that's perfectly moist, the perfect Christmas. We're obsessed and we're bombarded with the idea of perfectionism. Perfectionism, it comes down to something, Sarah. It comes down to something quite simple. Actually, in one word, to insufficiency. So perfectionism is about a sense of this is insufficient. I'm not good enough as I am right now. You're not good enough as you are right now. This isn't good enough as it is right now. It's that kind of niggling dissatisfaction with how things are in the present moment. An internal state of insufficiency, not enough. It's, you know, I was thinking about this today, Sarah, and over the years of sitting with hundreds of patients over the years, and indeed looking at myself, it's probably one of the most corrosive, one of the most pernicious psychological aspects or difficulty that we encounter, the idea of insufficiency. I'm not enough. This isn't enough. This isn't going to do it for me. This isn't doing it for me. A key psychological characteristic of perfectionism is dissatisfaction, insufficiency. And when you look at the research around it, actually, Sarah, it's really interesting, because people who have high perfectionism, those who are highly perfectionistic among us, tend to be people who are most dissatisfied with their relationships.
Okay.
Because the relationships tend not to be enough or not to be good enough. And we know through decades of research that one of the most important variables for our well-being is our social support and the quality of our relationships.
Okay, we have 1 minute for you to tell me, how do we manage perfectionism?
Well, 1 minute. Hang on a second.
Go on, Paul. You can do it. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Okay, let's establish the facts.
Go on.
I'm going to tell you something, Sarah. There was a paediatrician and a psychoanalyst called Bowlby, 1953. He watched parents looking after their children. And he realised very quickly, actually, that there were gaps in how people took care of their children. And he actually said, these gaps are really important because they prepare the child for going into the world that's going to disappoint them. So he coined this phrase called the good enough parent.
Okay.
So the good enough approach is a really, really powerful antidote to perfectionism.
Okay.
Well, live with this?
That is an absolutely
good enough.
I think that's the message people need to bring with themselves into the new year. Never mind this new year, better you,
nonsense.
All that. Good enough you.
Exactly.
Is what we're aiming for.
Sarah,
Paul,
thank you. The good enough you and the good enough me.
That is brilliant. And happy new year to you indeed. That is Dr. Paul Dalton. Thank you very much.